Scripture reading this morning is John chapter 20. This says through 21, so I'm going to read through 21. Up there says 20. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you."
That's the only slide. I still have not been weaned. Hayden, I want to tell you, I'm sorry I didn't talk to you after class about Dad. But I want you to know that everything you said was true except for the part that wasn't. So I appreciate that. And also, I would share with you, I would not go home and tell Lexi that you stood right here and said if she didn't get in the car, there'd be four seats available. Not good. You know, we spend a lot of time in the Lord's church looking especially at, we're studying right now from the four Gospels, about the mission that Jesus had. And all the things that he shares with us about the urgency that he had to come to this earth and to share that message of hope with us. And to share his Father. And to share the fact that we could escape from the power of sin that so much overwhelmed us. But not only this, we spend a lot of time looking at what's the response that you and I need to have to the mission of Jesus. And I wonder how often we've ever stopped to consider, and there are lots of passages here, the significance of the simple little statement in verse 21 of the passage that was just read. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. That little passage right there says, you know, this is what I'm about. Jesus said, this reveals not only my relationship with God, but this reveals his plan. It's what I'm about. You sent me to this world with a mission. And as I came, my mission was to share this, but also my mission as I share this was to tell you, disciples, this is your mission. This is what you're about. And it's interesting that very quickly he classifies you and I, his disciples, with himself to tell us of the urgency of the message that he has for us. He says, I'm sending you out just like the Father has sent me out. And think of that. Jesus came with a task that was awesome. A task that said, I'm coming into a sinful world and I want to give you hope. And I want to show you how you don't have to die in that sinful world. I want to give you a better way. I want to give you the hope of eternal life. And as we talk about the mission of Christ, it becomes obvious from the things that he shares with us that our mission will involve much the same as that of Jesus Christ and what he came to do. This statement probably, and even just as short as it is, reveals to us the real meaning of who we are as the body of Christ. Because it clearly tells me that every Christian is responsible for living, and not only living, but sharing the good news of the gospel. And so this morning I want us to think about for a minute, what does our relationship with Christ as a body of Christian people have to do with why we're here on this earth? You know, in the book of John, there are several remarkable statements in which the Lord draws a parallel first between his relationship with the Father and then his relationship with us as Christian people. And what you find in these passages is that Jesus tells us that he's the link, he's the connector, he's the connecting link in both relationships and how they correspond with each other. What the Father is to the Son, Christ is to the believer. You see where we're going here. There is a link, that Jesus is the link between who we are and who the Father is, and he is there in between. And so Jesus stands between the Father and us, and that's why he tells us that all communication comes through him. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. It's why as we go to God in prayer, we close our prayers in Jesus' name as we go through Him. And so God chose to communicate His will through Christ to us. You remember at His baptism, and again at His transfiguration, He made that very clear. We talked about it in our class when He came out of the waters of baptism at the Jordan. It says the clouds were torn open. God was excited. And He said, "This is My Son. You listen to Him. I'm well pleased in Him." And so, as we show our love to Him, to Christ, through obedience, through trust to His will, then Christ says in return, "I'll share that with the Father." And again, we see that link between who we are and who Christ came to be and was. And we're going to look at some of those passages this morning. And I want us first to look at John chapter 15 and verse 9. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in My love." God's love for Christ never ended. Christ is a part of God. Loved Him from the beginning. He was a part of Him. He was there in the creation. He was there and helped us as we were created. And so God's love has always been there. Christ revealed His love for the Father, as He's told us, by doing God's will. We talked about His temptations this morning. Tough ones. Tough ones. But He maintained because of the love that He had for the Father and for His will. And think of it. That same love that binds God and Christ is shown between Christ and us if we follow Him. The love of Christ will never end under any circumstances. And we're all familiar with the passage in Romans chapter 8. I want us to look at real quickly, and we've read this many times, and yet it is a confidence builder in who we are. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" I'm beginning in verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.' No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So what an awesome thought. That Christ is God's Son. That He's at the right hand of the Father. And that He loves us that much. That He won't leave us. And that He offers us a peace that can only come from an understanding of Him and obedience to His will. Another passage I want us to look at is back in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and I want to read verses 14 and 15. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And so, again, what you see here is that same knowledge, that same intimacy that exists between God and Christ can also exist between Christ and us if we truly follow Him. God and Christ understood the urgency of the mission that He sent Christ to this earth with. And when you and I come to a knowledge of Him and an understanding of the relationship that we can have Him, then we too can understand that urgency. And the need to make sure that any and everyone that we come in contact with at least is given the knowledge of who God is and who Christ is and the message of Christ and the possibilities for all mankind. No discriminations, but all mankind are loved by God and by Christ. God trusted Christ with everything. You remember before He went back to heaven, He said, "All things, all authority in heaven and in earth is given to Me." And when we know Christ for who He is, and we know Christ for what He means to our lives or what He can mean to our lives, when we really understand the offer that He makes to us in life, That knowledge can lead us to a wonderful trust in him. And his instructions are not hard, as he said, when we really understand what they're about. That it's because he loves us. And as God said, I would that no one would perish. Nobody. I would like for everybody to come to repentance and to accept me and for what I am. Jesus says it very, very simply again. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You can talk, but he says, walk it. Walk the walk. If you love me, you don't just talk about what I've said. You live it, and you keep my commandments. And then go back to John 15 again. John 15. And I want to look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What's Jesus telling us here? He said there is a true test. And that true test is love and obedience. Christ lived in the love of the Father because he always did the Father's will. And that's what he always said. He said, I'm here. I come to do the will of my Father. Even when he was about to go to the cross and he was struggling, he said, your will be done. And that was because of a love for the Father and a love for you and I. That he said what he said and he did what he did. Christ's love will always be there for us if we remain faithful, and he's promised that. That is just like the love the Father has for him. He said, I have that same love for you if you do my will and you do as I say. One other interesting parallel is not found in the book of John. It's found in the book of Revelation. And it's chapter 3 and verse 21. And it says this, the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I also conquered and sat with my Father on his throne. Jesus came to this world, and almost immediately at the beginning, well, even before he actually went out, we saw it this morning, he was attacked by sin, was he not? And it seemed like every day that, and everything that we read about, someone was trying to trick him, someone was trying to fool him, somebody was trying to talk him in to do something that would show that he was not perfect, that he was not God's son. And yet he overcame those things. And he died on the cross, and he let the whole world know that he'd overcome the power of Satan. As Satan was powerful, but yet Satan is restricted. He can only do what God lets him do. And the worst he can do to you and me is tear our soul or our life up, our body up, but he can't touch our soul. Jesus said, I want him to know that. And so Jesus returned to the right hand of God. But even in that, he was still showing us his love. And he said, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back. He said, I'm not going to tell you when, but I'm going to come back. So you better be ready every day, because you don't know when that day might come. So when I look at the mission of Christ, as I start to reflect on how it works with us, I think there are three things that express the mission that Jesus came to accomplish. One, Jesus came to reveal God. You know, we talk about, how can I know God? Jesus said, if you know me, you know him. So Jesus came to reveal God, to reveal his love. God, along with Christ, created us in his image. And as I said a while ago, his desire is for all of us to be saved. God knew this when he created us. He knew there was going to have to be a plan. Man sinned. Suddenly we're lost. Suddenly we need something that we can't provide for ourselves. God is disappointed when we sin, but God never quits loving us. God never quits caring about who we are. And his love overwhelms us. And Keith talked about it this morning. Jesus came to a world of nasty, awful, sinful people because he loved us, and he died an awful, nasty, cruel death because he loved us. John 3:16, many of us have known it for years and years. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. He said, that's how much God loves us. He said, none of you should lose your soul. And that's why I sent Jesus. And that's what he's about, and that's what I'm about. And so God has overwhelmed us with his love. In Romans 5 and verse 8, it said, but God demonstrates his own love for us. And while we were still sinners, while we were still that nasty, ugly people, Jesus didn't just come, he died. Because of that overwhelming love. Because God still loved us. And because Christ loved us. And so he came to reveal God and his love. And the second thing that Christ came, he came to offer a message of redemption. Very openly and very plainly, Christ said, God hates sin. No middle ground. God hates sin. He said, you need to hate it. You need to hate it. And the reason is because it's not like God. It separates us from God. You need to hate it. You need to understand that. And not only hate it, but he said, I'm coming to offer redemption from the power of that horrible thing we call sin. I come to give you the hope of redemption from the punishment of sin that we read about in Romans. The wages of sin is death. It's pretty straightforward. It's not a multiple choice. And he said, I'm going to do this by coming to this earth and giving myself for you. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 very beautifully tells us this. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus came with a message of redemption. And thirdly, he came with a message of salvation. Did you ever think about the fact that his mission was revealed to man even before he was born? Think about that. When the angel came to Joseph, you remember what he said? He said, okay, lighten up. Don't get excited like you are. Mary's going to have a baby. And it's from the Holy Spirit. And you're going to name him Jesus. For what reason? What did it say? Because he'll save his people from their sins. So we knew that before he was even born. That was going to be what he was about. That he was coming with a message of salvation. Jesus restated that several times in Luke 19:10. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so Jesus came to reveal God in his love. He came to share a message of redemption, and he came to share salvation. That being said, what's my mission? What's your mission in God's family? Well, when you think about it, it's the same. We can't offer salvation in the same way that he did. But it can be shared through what he did. We need to declare the love of God. And it needs to come through the lives that we live. And how we act and how we interact. And how we teach. And how we share. I love the prayers that I hear here. Because depending upon who it is, so many, we talk about the thankfulness that we have for the love that's shared here. And that's the way it ought to be. I hear prayer about our young people and our need to share with them, and that's great. I hear about being thankful to God for the blessings that we have, and that's what we should be about. We need to reveal the love of God in our lives and let people see it. We need to be like Paul, who, when he got a second chance and he recognized this love, and he recognized that it was a whole lot greater than what he had, even though from the standpoint of the world, he was a tough guy. And he had a lot of great things. You know, he said, when I think about it, it's rubbish. It's rubbish. It's nothing compared to the love of God. And it led him to say, you know what? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, that's the long and the short. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And on another occasion, he said, you know, Christ lives in me. It's not me. Christ lives in me. And Paul showed God's love in the message that he delivered. And we need to show the love of God in our lives. We also must go out and we must let people know and reveal the ugliness of sin. We need to let people know the power of sin and what can happen when sin dictates who we are and what we're about. We need to let people know what the result of sin is. And we need to show the world that not only is there a need to be redeemed, but it's a possibility. It's a real thing that can happen. And we need to tell people that they don't have to be lost because of Satan, but they can be redeemed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus came with the message of redemption, we need that message to be a part of our lives. And then finally, we must carry the message of salvation to all. We need to let people know the price that Jesus paid. And I'll guarantee you, when you're talking to somebody who has no knowledge of the Bible, they're going to shake their head at first and say, what on earth would possess him to do that? It's because he loved us. And that's going to be hard to believe because the way we think and act in our world doesn't go that way, does it? It's all about me. But we need to share that message of salvation. We need to share that Jesus paid that great price to redeem our sins, giving his life because he loved us and because the Father loved us and because the Father wants us to be with him. And we need to share with this world that the death of Jesus can bring spiritual life to each and every one who obeys it. You know, as we go out, so many, we'll look back and see what our attendance number was for a day, and it was good. But you know, that's not the key, just the number. When I leave this morning, I hope that we think about who we are. Is Christ really the guide that directs who I am? Am I being directed in a way that I am being Christ-like, that I am fulfilling what he's asked me to do? Do I reveal God's love in my interactions at work, in my interactions with family, at play or whatever? Do I reveal that there's a reason why I'm a Christian? That I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ? Do I share that I can be happy and be at peace because I have a hope that you don't have? Unless you're a child of God. Is that the way my life goes? Can each of us truly say that as Christians we responded to the petition of Jesus when he said, as the Father sent me, I send you. It's not 11:30 and I'm sorry, I'm out of voice and stuff. And I am really hoarse, but I hope I worked this up after working on these lessons about the life of Christ. There's so many things here. When I looked at the set of lessons for this series, I thought, these are really bland. People know all of these things. I didn't know half of it. The things that are so important that seem so just normal to us. Christ came to this earth, which is hardly believable, to deal with ugly old people like us, and yet he did it because he loved us. And he died on that cross knowing how bad it was going to be. Things, we've all been hurt, but nothing like what he went through. Barbara Vaughn rides with us every morning, and she and I were talking this morning how hard it is to say something good when you're grumpy because you don't feel good. Folks, Jesus hung on that cross hurting like I can't even imagine. And looks down at these people who were casting lots for his clothes, who had said everything in the world to him. And he looks up and he said, Father, don't hold it against them. They don't know what they're doing. And sure enough, on the day of Pentecost, look how many didn't. And look how many when they realized what the mission was and what it was about, were pricked to the heart and said, men and brethren, what should we do? And were baptized into Christ. We need to promote that message as Jesus did in our life. This morning, if you're not a Christian, our hope and our prayer is that you'll think about it and you'll want to be one. Because without that relationship, you don't have hope. That's not me talking, that's God saying. You've got to be part of my family. Repent of your sins. Confess him to be Lord. Cost him his life. You can bring immortality to your soul. Put him on in baptism and begin a life of obedience to him. And then from the joy that you find that you have, share that with somebody else. This morning, if you're here and are a Christian and you know what you need to do, and you've allowed things of this world to kind of jump in front, and that happens. Because like I said, we live in a sinful world. Guess what? God still loves you. God still got his arms out there saying, come on back. I'm here. I haven't gone anywhere. You come back and I still love you and I still want you. If you have a need, and anyway, we would love to share that with you, to share in prayer to God for your forgiveness and help you find that love that you once had for him. If you have a need this morning in any way, will you come while we stand and while we sing?